outlet where I publish my sermons. So I'm using my phone to take my voice in case you see my phone there.
Hello, hello.
Ah,
okay. All right. So that's that. Now, oh, excellent. Thank you. God bless you. And I think that will be much better. Thank you so much for that. All right. Okay. So I follow what is written. Because if you allow me, I'll waste all my 45 minutes saying what is not important. Brethren, I'm going to thank God first for the opportunity to be here and also for the blessing of health and also for the blessing of salvation, grace that the Lord has extended to me as a sinner to stand before you and to speak. Okay, so I think I know a little thing about Paul saying that he's wretched, the most miserable sinner, but the Lord called him into ministry. I know something about it. I probably haven't known it all, but I thank God for that. Secondly, I want to thank God for all of you who are here. Thank you for coming to listen to Pastor Ray Morel and myself. You know, we're very grateful to God. We trust that the Lord will bless our meeting and our discussion today. My gratitude has not concluded. Some brothers saw that I was going to be ministering here, and they came from very far to be part of us. So I'm going to start from behind. Brother Toju Ejeki. Yes, wonderful brother. He's a man of God. 3-4 months ago, I started a project, and where I meet with brothers, ministers of reformed minds on WhatsApp. And I sold the idea to him, and he's been one of those who has been supporting us. Thank you, sir. And the second person I want to thank God for is Brother Moses Jesutola. He's a missionary, a reformed missionary to Meron, somewhere on the outskirts of Lagos. Okay, he used to be charismatic and all of that. He became reformed, and right now he's doing his studies with IPTT, my alma mater, okay? And he's here with us. He's doing also planting a church at Meron, and I'm going to be introducing him to the leadership of this church subsequently so that they can help him with his work, okay? And I want to thank God for my wife. My wife is here with my children. Okay, so Dr. Jola Oluwa Tosin. Yes, okay. She's here to basically support the work that I do. This is my first preaching engagement after my ordination. And I told her that, please come. And she's here. And I thank God for her. Okay. And the last people were not the least that I want to introduce are Mr. and Mrs. Alaba Ajileye. They are seated right in front. Please, can you raise your... God bless you for coming. They are the only reformed missionaries I know in Nigeria. Full-time missionaries. They left banking job and went full-time into the Lord's work. Husband and wife. Not husband went, wife stayed. Husband and wife. So when you are talking about living by faith, I look at them. In the Nigeria that we are in, next month they'll be moving from Lagos to Abuja to start a missions work with CAPRO. Brethren, pray for them. Get their contacts. Support them whichever way you can. They heard I was coming, and I didn't invite them. They just said they are coming, and I appreciate you. Thank you, Brother Alaba and Sister Tolu. God bless you. Okay. All right. So that's done. And Sister Aruna, right? Yes. So I've spoken with her on WhatsApp, and she's a delightsome spirit. So thank you, Ma, for being here. And every one of you, Moshope, all of you, God bless you. Amen. Now, I'm going to start this sermon. I pray that I'm not going to finish this sermon on this point, but I'll start it this way. And I want to ask you that you shouldn't be uncomfortable because it's serious matter, very serious. And you know, when we come to the Church of Jesus Christ, we're talking about serious matter. All right? So that's it. Pastor is not here, so I can say some things behind him. Okay? 2015, Pastor Arimoro called me. I was in Ibadan. I can still remember the room where I was. I had to stay away from my children, who were very little then, you know, and just to pick that call and hear what he was saying. He said there was a problem in the church, and he just wanted to tell me, all right? Now, he didn't call me to ask me to take his side. He just said you needed to be aware of what is happening. Why? Because in January 2014, the whole of Crown, I didn't say some, everybody in Crown entered Moto and came to Ibadan to start the work that I was doing. They came to my house. We rented canopy in front of my house. We did a 9-to-3 kind of a program, and they encouraged me to start off, okay? And some other brothers were coming monthly to help with the work for 6 months before I continued, okay? So that was 2014. So 2015 or 2016, he called me and said there was trouble. Some brothers want to leave the church. They were not threatening to leave the church. There were lots of issues, and they have discussed back and forth. They were not agreeing on it. It was a doctrinal matter. And you know, for Reformed people, doctrine matters. Okay, so now, eventually, those brothers and some sisters left the church. There was a church split, major one. Okay, and I want to say here, I wrote it here. I say only eternity will tell how much good came out of that event. Only eternity. In Port Harcourt, by the way, I want to thank Pastor Arimoro. He took flight to Port Harcourt for my ordination and took flight back. So if you want to appreciate what he did, just go and find out how much it costs to go to Port Harcourt and come back. Thank you, sir. God bless you. While we were in Port Harcourt, Pastor Arimoro told me, he said that event of 2015 was probably the best thing that happened to him. Okay? But I think only eternity will tell. Some of the brothers who left, I'm still friends with them. Okay, so that doesn't mean that I've taken one side. You understand? I still work with a lot of them. All right? Now, another thing that I found out is that in my investigation of Reformed work around the world, church splits are very common. So it's possible for a church to experience numerous splits, not just one, numerous. People get tired and they just leave. All right? And lastly, I want to say that a spirit of humble service to one another will prevent church splits. Is that okay? A spirit of humble service to one another will prevent church splits. That's the reason why I think that we having a program on appreciating the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, beholding the servant of the Lord, is important. And also very providential. When Pastor told me I was going to speak on it, I didn't know what I was going to say. But I pleaded with the Lord, and then Pastor also sent me a topic, so it helped me to know what to say. So I'm going to be speaking to in my first session on something I titled "The Spirit of the Bond Servant." The Spirit of the Bond Servant, brethren. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Let me also ask you that at the end of the service, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to pray. I won't pray now. Okay, I'll pray at the end of the sermon. And I want to plead with you that if you listen to anything at all, listen to that prayer. I've learned so many things along the way of this Reformed thing. It was Pastor Tony Okoro that first of all gave me 1689. He said, "Give it to me. This is what we believe." Okay? If you believe it, fine. If you don't believe it, you can work with us. All right? He was the first person to do that, 2016. Between 2016 and 2021, Pastor Nick Kennicott trained me in the 1689 at IPTT. Okay? We had the best teachers. I hope I can quote one of our teachers here. in 2023, Pastor, what's his name now?
Port Harcourt.
Anieko Ekpo ordained me to ministry on the 1689. Is that okay? While I was at Port Harcourt, Pastor Annie listened to me pray. And he said, brother, you don't pray like that as a reformed person. And he taught me how to pray. So the 1 week I spent with him, that was what I took from him. Apart from the ordination, he taught me how to pray. So I'll be praying after this sermon. Please listen to it, okay? The person who prayed, the pastor ordained me, but before the ordination on the Sunday, on the Saturday, a white minister came, and Pastor Annie said, you're going to sign this guy's ordination certificate, and you're going to pray. I said, I don't know him, you know, but you want me to pray? And so he did. But before he prayed, he told me, he said, send me an email, tell me who you are, okay? And then he prayed. I have the video of the prayer here. Powerful prayer, okay? Brethren, Reformed people don't only preach, we pray. Amen. So please bear with me. I'll pray after the sermon. All right? Matthew 12, verse 16 to 21. Please, another thing I'm going to plead with you to bear with me. I'm kind of very disjointed in my preaching. But hopefully by the end of the sermon, I would have put everything together. I need to make sense, okay? If it doesn't make sense, the Holy Spirit will help you to make it make sense. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Verse 16. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he would not break, and smoking flax he would not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Praise the Lord. So we can safely say, which pastor has already taught, but we can safely say that the servant of Isaiah 42 is our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Matthew 12, Matthew used a direct reference of Isaiah 43 to describe the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, having said that, there's a word that our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 63. This is what Jesus said. He said, I quote, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I will speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So if we're talking about the spirit of the bond servant, or if we're talking about the spirit of the servant of the Lord, we're talking about perhaps being exposed to the words of Jesus. And not just the words of Jesus, but that the Lord may help us as a church to come to appreciate the doctrines around godliness, the doctrines of scriptures, the doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrines of the Lord. I wrote here, Christ must impart the spirit of the bondservant on us via the doctrines we learn. We shall use the first section of my presentation to imbibe that spirit, okay? So that when the Lord calls us to duty, we may have resources to carry it out. Amen. So in this first section, I want to impart the spirit of the bondservant on you through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the words of the Holy Scriptures. Last Sunday at Providence Church, by the way, our brethren are praying for me. I'm praying for you. And please remember us in our prayers. Ibadan is a very hard ground. But at the same time, in the hardness, there are lots of opportunities. So pray for us. Last Sunday, I preached on the title of a sermon titled, Jesus is God. And in a rather provocative manner, especially trying to provoke our brothers at the other side, the Muslims, I titled it Jesus is God, okay? And I took time to show numerous scriptures that shows that Jesus Christ is God himself, okay? But please bear with me. Let me just read two of those scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. So let's go to Titus chapter 2. Probably my best description. My best description of the person of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2. Titus is not opening. Okay. Verse 13 reads, and I quote, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it is not enough that Jesus is our Savior. Scripture says he's what? He's our great God. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is what? He's God. But open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me argue with my own doctrine, okay? Let me bring out a doctrine that many Unitarians use to contend with the fact that Jesus is not God. Verse 16 reads, and I quote, verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who are falling asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Please take note, there will come an end when Jesus will do what? Deliver the kingdom to God the Father. Verse 25. For he must reign, that Jesus will reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, that's to God, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is a scripture that Unitarians use, and they say that Jesus is subordinated to God. The Bible says that a time will come when Jesus will become subject to God so that God might be all in all. But let me counter again that scripture by reading another scripture, Philippians chapter 2, which is actually where I hope we can build a tent and tie the knots together, so that all this confusion, which is brewing in your mind, will come to an end. Verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Amen. So Jesus is what? In the form of God. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of what? A bond servant. Abi, we're talking about what? Spirit of a bond servant. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore,
God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what am I talking about here? I started by saying that Jesus is God, and then I went to show you a scripture that says that at some point, Jesus will become subject to God. And then I'm finally showing you here that, or I'm showing you something which I want to draw out a lesson from. And that is this, that Jesus indeed is in the form of God. Jesus is God. However, he did not consider it robbery. Yes, okay. He made himself of no reputation. That is where I'm going to. Jesus is God. God is God. God, the Holy Spirit, is God. But Jesus made himself of no reputation. He kind of came down. He stepped down to fulfill a purpose. There is a phrase I want to, beside the prayer, that I want you to take away from this lesson today. And that phrase is what I call willing subordination. Willing what? Willing subordination. Okay? I work with the Nigerian Civil Service, and insubordination is gross misconduct. It means that if you disobey your superiors, your appointment can be terminated. All right? That's insubordination, disobedience. But Jesus did something called willing subordination. So that when you see the Godhead, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Basically, they are one, they are equal. None is subordinated to the other, but they all have roles. Okay? God is all in all. God predestinates. We pray to God the Father. But Jesus came down. He took on flesh. He became man, and he died for us. The Holy Spirit makes salvation effective for us. But for Jesus to do his own, what did he do? He did something we call a willing subordination. He willingly made himself subordinate to God. He willingly made himself subordinate to God. The spirit of the bond servant is willing subordination to one another, serving one another, willing subordination. And one of the best examples, I wanted to use this example later, but so that my sermon can make some sense, I know it's confusing, is husband and wife. Husband, wife, as far as scriptures is concerned, they are one, they are equal. There's nobody greater than the other. Is that okay? But those of us in, reformed cycles, we hold the position that the role of the husband is different from the role of the wife. And whether you agree or not, nature dictates that. No matter what happens with the madness of LGBT, whatever they are, man cannot give birth to what? Children. They won't breastfeed. Titi-lai-lai, they will not menstruate. It will not happen. Okay? There's a role God has given women. Okay? And there's also a role that God has given men. Very soon, God forbid, Ukraine and Russia gets to the point, to the, what did they call it? To the point that we're praying it won't get to. But if it does, all these people say men and women are equal. I am certain that by the time they send battalions of soldiers to Russia to fight, they won't include women in that battalion. Why? Because God did not constitute women for such a thing. Is that okay? If you put the women in the army, good and fine. They will go and they'll be doctors, they'll be nurses, they'll be intelligentsia. But the people who will carry gun and knife and enter the field and fight will be what? Men. It's called roles. It's called what? Roles. I have a boy and a girl. I understand roles. okay? My son will finish his food and ask for his sister's food, okay? It is called roles. The food is not enough. He has energy. He needs something to fill it. She doesn't have that kind of energy. So why waste her time? She won't have the appetite to eat. He finished the food with complimentary breakfast in the hotel this morning. You're hungry again. It's called energy. It's roles. He's being built for something. Okay, so that when he has a family and somebody comes and says, what? Just the energy, just the response. Listen, you step back. It's called roles. So husband and wife have roles, okay? Now, what the Bible demands from the wife is this thing. Willing subordination, okay? Where you permit for your husband to lead while you follow. Not because you are not equal with him. Not because you are not richer than him. Not because you are not more beautiful. But simply because there are different roles. Scripture commands that the man leads and the woman follows. Is that okay? Now we're going somewhere. Please just bear with me small. I want to actually plateau on Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Our calling to serve Christ and others must derive from God's work within us. So in the latter part of Philippians 2, we saw what Jesus did. Willing subordination. But what led him to it? In fact, somewhere the Bible says that let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. Is that not so? So we want to be like the ultimate bond servant. We want to grab his spirit. Okay, we want to receive it into our body. What will lead to it? Verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, those four things. First of all, is what? Consolation in Christ. I don't know how I'm going to explain it, but we all know consolation. Somebody is bereaved, is hurt, you understand. He finds consolation somewhere. That the Lord Jesus will provide consolation to you. Have you ever had that? Has the Lord provided that to you? Have you found comfort in the love of Christ? Have you found the fellowship of the Spirit? Have you found affection and mercy? Have you found forgiveness of sin? All of these things are topics for a sermon. I can't spend too much time there. But what I'm basically saying is this, that the Lord must give you something if you are going to serve his people. Okay? If you're going to become a bond servant, the Lord must have done something in you. You must have found comfort. You must have found consolation, fellowship with the Spirit, affection, and mercy. The Lord would have done something in you because you cannot give what you don't have. The Lord must do it. So the first thing the Lord must do is that our God must bring genuine conversion to the hearts of the saints. And that's why in Reformed cycles, we are very careful about membership. We want the people who will fill the membership roles of the church to be converted people. So that when Pastor Iyena calls you to membership interview and said, How did you meet Jesus? How were you converted? Okay, and begins to probe. He's not asking because he doubts your salvation. He's asking because it's important that the Lord has done something in you, that you have met the risen Christ, that you have found forgiveness for your sins. It's important. Now, this place, churches dot the landscape, okay? And one of the reasons why I find it difficult to go to some of these churches is because by the time you spend 2-3 months, 1 year with them, you come to find out that many of the key people who are running the churches and who are making important decisions for the churches are unconverted people. So starting from the money bags to even the pastors, people who have not met the risen Christ, they would never make a decision for Jesus Christ. They would never do the work of God. They would never be born servants. Okay? So the first thing, the Lord must bring about conversion. And in this place, we are believers in sovereign grace. We know that the Holy Spirit alone converts. So if the Lord has not converted the person, you will have to leave the person alone until the Lord does the work. But the Lord has to do it. If he doesn't do it, you can't convert anybody. You can't lead anybody to Christ. It is the Lord that must do it. Amen. So there must be conversion. And then after that, you want to find out whether you are willing to be subordinated to others in church and wait till Christ gives you position. This is what I mean. So you come into the church, you are a converted person. You must be able to accept where you are. I'm talking about the spirit of the bond servant. What will lead us to what? To serving other people. If you come into the church, you stay where you are. Okay? It's not that, God forbid, I've had such thinking before. You come into a church, you are new, and you are looking to the pastor and say, I can preach better than this one, Ojari. That is not the spirit of Christ. Okay? The spirit of the Lord is sit down and wait. Sit down and wait. Okay? Willing subordination. Okay, you have a lot of gifting. You have been to many places. You have done a lot of preaching. You have even many sermons online. Okay? But you come into a place, you wait till the Lord makes things possible for you. It's possible that the leadership will come and meet you and say, brother, can you help us feel, you know, in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas went somewhere and they were sitting behind the synagogue and they called and said, brethren, come, do you have something to tell us? Okay? So if you're truly gifted and the Lord has put something in you, at some point, you'll be called upon to serve. Amen. And then the last thing I want to talk about is providence. What are you doing with God's providence in your life? It's also part of this thing about waiting, okay? But it's a little more than that. John MacArthur would say we should embrace providence. Embrace providence. John MacArthur was one of the biggest supporter of Donald Trump during his time in office. But that Capitol thing, where they went to protest at the Capitol, pitched him against Donald Trump. And he said there was no reason why Donald Trump should not have accepted his defeat at the polls. It doesn't matter who defeated you. You are defeated, go home. Okay, there was no point raising insurrection against an instituted government. It's the same thing with all of us. Wherever we are, you stay there. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. Okay? If you are sick, be sick. I'm serious. Don't be running around looking for healers. Follow the normal way in which people find healing. Go to Orthodox medicine. Pray. Plead with God. Wait. If the Lord, if it pleases God, he will bring the healing. If it is going to be the path to glory, so be it. All right? If you are poor, wait on your poverty. Okay? Don't be saying, I wish I had that car. I wish I had that house. No. That's the state where God has put you. Embrace providence. If you are rich, be thankful to it and be generous. Okay? So those are the things. When Christ is doing a work in you, first of all, he brings about conversion. Secondly, he calls us to willing subordination. And thirdly, the Lord calls us to providence. I can see my time is running like madness. And I have not gotten to where I'm going to. Okay? At the height of fellowship, when you come into church and you start to walk with God's people, you're 2-3 months, 1 year in church. The first thing that you discover in church, is that the people in church are just like the people outside. The only difference is that they are where? In church. The people in church are as dubious as the people outside. The people in church are as rude as the people outside. They are as angry as the people outside, abusive as the people outside. The only difference is that they are where? In church. Okay? And when you check the testimony of some of these people, you find out that they are converted. So what do? You leave church, Abi? No. You stay with them. Because by the time you stay another 1 year, you find out that it is not just the people who have problems. You too. You have problem. Amen. So then you begin to now see the cross of Jesus Christ coming forth. You find out from Romans chapter 5 verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Say, ha! The same way Jesus died for me, he died for what? For that brother who is rude, who is abusive, who is dubious. Loto. Fine. Then you find out again from Romans chapter 4 verse 5 that the same way Jesus Christ died for the ungodly, God came forth and justified the ungodly. Say, ha! Loto. Just as he justified me, he justifies who? The other person. Amen. It hasn't finished. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. The Bible says, the same way Jesus Christ died for the ungodly, God justified the ungodly. The Spirit is given to who? It's given to the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Check it. Romans 5, 6, Romans 4, 5, Romans 5, 5. Then you realize what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. That it is not people outside that sinned. It is not the Pharisees that sinned or Sadducees. How many people sinned? All have sinned. All of us. And have fallen short of the glory of God. Why am I saying all of this? I am saying in essence that, don't forget that I'm trying to impart the spirit of the bond servant upon us. And I've told us that it's going to come through doctrine. I'm saying in essence that we must come to grasp a certain doctrine that is quite fundamental to the Reformation. And that doctrine is called the doctrine of sovereign grace. Okay? That the Lord shows mercy to whom he chooses. The Lord shows mercy to the ungodly. The Lord has shown mercy to both of us. Okay? All of us. That doctrine has been termed, and I am not ashamed to call it, it has been termed Calvinism. Okay? And by all means, that's what I am. I'm a Calvinist. The reason is because Calvinism didn't come in the days of Calvin. It came almost 50 years after Calvin. So the people who brought forth Calvinism were trying to embody this doctrine of grace, this doctrine of sovereign grace. What it's simply saying is this. What Calvinism is saying is that God has chosen a few. God has chosen sinners. God has chosen you and I. God has chosen to show mercy to us, okay? And we have no other choice but then to show mercy to who? To others. The same way God has chosen to forgive us aplenty, we also must do what? We must forgive others a lot. That is why Philippians chapter 2 now begins to make sense. That therefore, it's an if. Hopefully you have that if. If there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, have you received grace into your heart? Have you found mercy with God? Because it is when God forgives you that you can forgive others. Okay? Have you found the fellowship of the Spirit where it seems our pastor was talking from Isaiah 42 and talking about the bruised reed and the smoking flax, right? So that smoking flax, it's not burning, you know, it's just smoking. It's about to go off. And Pastor Andy came to Ibadan and he told me, he said, God does not quench the smoking flax. He lights it. He lights it up. He doesn't quench it. So it doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter if nobody is coming to church. God wants it to go back, come back to life. So you can't say, because there are two or three people coming to their church, it's not a church. Where two or three are gathered, there our Lord is. Amen. Brethren, please let us note this, that the Lord has chosen to show mercy to the ungodly. And one of the things you come to discover very quickly in church is that I am ungodly, you are ungodly, but I have found mercy, you have found mercy from the depth of what we have received in Christ Jesus. Then we serve one another. Okay? Let me show you something else. Fulfilling my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. If we can get to this point, we won't have church split. We won't have any problem. Because what the scripture says, it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That means that you come to realize that that person may not be speaking. He may not be the pastor. He may not be speaking. He may not be the pastor. But he has something that I don't have. Okay? He is a part of the body, and he can bring something into the church that I don't have. That brother may not be wealthy. Okay? Yes. That brother may not be wealthy, but he's able to do something in the church that all of my own wealth cannot. Okay? Esteeming others better than ourselves will bring us to the point where we realize that we can bear with one another, that what the other person is doing is something that I cannot do, so I appreciate him for it, okay? It is still part of the whole idea of serving in the Church of Jesus Christ. In the next meeting, my next presentation, I'll be doing something on the qualification of the bond servant, okay? I'll be building on what I've just shared now. But what I want us to take away from here is this spirit of the bond servant. It exhumes from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did what? Willingly subordinated himself to God the Father. So that when we come into the church, what do we also do? We willingly subordinate ourselves to one another. We do not try to do the work of another person. We wait until God very providentially puts us in a position where we can serve. Let us pray. Our Father, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to share your word with God's people. Lord, I trust you that you would make this word come alive in them. I'm not sure if I've passed any meaningful message, but I trust you to bring this word alive in your people. Lord, I want to plead that you will be merciful to our sins. There are many ways, beginning with the church split, where there have been a lot of horse trading, where there have been a lot of backbiting and all. I want to ask that you will be merciful to our sins. And I want to plead with you that if there are people here who are in church, they're part of this gathering, and are thinking they are better than others because of probably where they are coming from and all that, it is a tendency we all have. Please forgive our sins and bring us to that place where we are able to esteem others better than ourselves, where what we do in church exhumes from the consolations that we have found in Christ, from the comfort of his love, from the fellowship of his spirit, from affection and mercy that we have found, of being forgiven our many sins. Father, please make this a reality in our hearts. We trust in you, God, that you impart the spirit of the bond servant upon us so that we might go forth to serve you and to serve one another. We ask this through Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray.